So what I'm presenting on today is evaluation, and coming from the perspective of both an academic and a consultant, and doing evaluation work over the past 15 years in the Middle East. So looking at how to approach evaluation from highly volatile environments, and taking that knowledge to Western environments, where we discover... where we discover that a lot of the issues we're dealing with are very similar to the developmental world and the world in which where we see things as highly volatile, but really the skills, the capacities, the way forward is very similar. So I have three questions that you want to keep in mind, perhaps, and that is, why do we need a conceptual framework when we're talking about evaluation and navigating and leading sociopolitical change? And here we're talking about human flourishing, organizational change, and all that impact on civil society and the state. And so if we're talking about a conceptual framework, then what might that be? And how can that help? And if we're using a framework, how can you make it work for you in your settings, in your projects, in your organizations, or whatever is important to you right now? And so in that, thinking a little bit perhaps around the qualities that might be required of you, the principles that you might need to be working with, the values that you need to perhaps adopt, and the practices that you also need to embrace. So talking about evaluation, what that is in terms of traditional evaluation is systematically measuring outputs and outcomes, and for that using validated instruments, so tools. And so the reason why we use evaluation organizations and programs is mostly to be accountable to the donors, which becomes quite problematic. We focus very much in a lot of the things we do on being efficient. So not so much about being effective, but being really efficient with how we do things. Supporting program development and improvement. And many of us do want to create change through the organizations that we work in. So whether that's organizations, projects, community, and social or political arenas. And so just to give you a bit of an idea of what I'm talking about, when we have projects or organizations that we're working with, we have our strategic plans, we construct ideas on how that might work, we plan the types of actions, the kind of processes, whatever structures that are needed. We take action, we do things, we make things happen within those projects and organizations, and then we evaluate. So that's where evaluation happens in this cycle. Now, the problem is that we normally, if we're talking about traditional evaluation, is we stop at that one cycle. We don't take in feedback and then go into the next iteration. So how is evaluation done? Essentially, data is collected. That's how we do evaluation. So at that part of the loop, we're just collecting data. Sometimes we go into the field to do it, and that's nice when we do, because then we're actually collecting data from the participants themselves, and we're actually seeing what's happening on the ground. But a lot of times we do things from the desk. When we're not thinking about the donors, and only then we're looking for evidence of what's not working. And coming from that stance, that's really anti-integral in the sense that we're not looking for opportunities. We're not looking really in terms of how to grow. We're looking for what's wrong. It's not an appreciative stance. Sometimes we're looking at how to make things more effective and how to improve things. But then not a whole lot changes. And why is that? Any other ideas? Number one, we're looking at reality. We're making recommendations, we're evaluating by testing reality. What's wrong with that? So if we want to be developmental, if we want to create change and transformation specifically, we can't just be focusing on what we call reality. And evaluation requires interpretation of data, and what that means is people are using their own meaning-making, their own interpretations, their own perspectives, which could be at whatever level. We just talked about the beige. It could be there. And then how can they provide a way forward? Usually when we do evaluations, there is some type of agenda, and that agenda could be, from my experience, it could be to fire the manager. It could be for whatever political reason. And not all the time we have that background. We usually figure things out, but we don't really know what's going on. And so it's not really about growth. It's not really about development. Evaluations often go on the shelves, and they're not even used. But what else? What else is wrong with evaluation that's more traditional? And traditional is the vast majority of evaluations that are out there. Number one is lack of capacity. We're not focusing on developing capacity. We're not focusing on the individual. And moving to the upper right quadrant of the qual. Lack of aligned action. So here's this guy wearing a raised fist t-shirt. And that's symbolic for a lot of the ways we take action within whatever projects we're even passionate about. So we could really be caring and focused on creating change. But that's not going to happen because that's not aligned with the kinds of capacities we need to create change. And if we go to the lower left quadrant, think about lack of trust, lack of collaboration, lack of cooperation, reciprocity, the values and principles that we need to work with one another, and lack of systems awareness for the lower right. So what do we actually need if we're thinking about global challenges? Because what we're speaking here with evaluation is not specifically really about program evaluation. Programs are a tiny, tiny bit to the reality in which we're living in. Organizations are just one bit. Really, we need to be thinking about what those organizations, what those projects are doing in alignment with the global challenges. 15 are listed here. These are not exhaustive. And so what's the piece of the puzzle? It's us. The piece of the puzzle is the individual. It's not the organization. It's not the project. And so what's needed is that awareness development. The development at its deepest meaning is the transformation of consciousness. And so when we're thinking in terms of integral approaches, we're thinking in terms of vertical development in the four quadrants that we just looked at, in terms of capacity, the things we do, the things we can actually measure, the we space, and the systems space. And so if we think about how we're actually being as the first part in terms of our awareness or thinking about where we're at in our projects or organizations, there's really two different ways we could be moving towards if we're thinking about vertical development. It doesn't always have to be up. It can also be down. And so the issue with that, if we're not focusing on the self or who we are being, we could be reactive. We could be coming from a place of rage, anger. And so it's not, again, just about us. It's where all that leads to. What movements are we creating from that anger? Or are we being generative? Are we being awareness-based in our collective action and then moving upwards? And so to answer our question, why do we need a conceptual framework for evaluating and navigating change? We need it to assess where we're at. We need to know, we need to be aware, and the way to be aware is to take measurements. And so what I'm introducing here is capacity development evaluation as a way forward from traditional evaluation. So what can a conceptual framework help with? If we focus on the four quadrants, it can help with coming from an awareness-based being from the interior. So who am I? What am I experiencing? Am I being reactive? Am I being constructive? So what is my state, in other words? What mental model am I using? Am I taking on more perspectives? And then as a result of that, because the interactions are between these quadrants, they're not in isolation, what are the behaviors that follow from that state of being? What culture within my project or organization am I creating? Am I even aware of where I'm at in terms of my culture and how I'm contributing? And how is my organization, in terms of what we just looked at before, solving the problems of the world? So the UN defines capacity development as the process through which individuals, organizations, and societies obtain, strengthen, and maintain the capacities to set and achieve their own development objectives over time. And I think that's a really great definition. And then adding to that is developmental evaluation, which is designed to respond to emergent realities in dynamic and complex, and really specifically in certain systems, which I argue is not just in the developing world or parts of the world that seem to be volatile, it's everywhere. And so it's really needing to be aligned with the global challenges and thinking in terms of, well, how do we solve this? What areas do we need to focus on? And so evaluating how our programs and projects are addressing these things. These are the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs by the UN. And these are sectioned into different areas, such as number 5, gender equality, which is a lot of the work that I've done in the Middle East. So then answering number 3, how can you make it work for you? A case study. So how have other people done it? So this is called the City of Hope. This is an organization that I worked with in Dubai. And this was just a handful of women who got together. They didn't have any background in evaluation or organizational development. But this group of women are the ones who are responsible for bringing laws into the United Arab Emirates on the trafficking of children. So they were the ones that we have to be thankful to who have stopped trafficking of children in this country. And so if they had no education to do this, some of them just had high school degrees, how did they do this? In other words, as with earlier, the question was, what are the capacities? What are the practices? What are the principles on which they worked? Well, if we think of the upper right quadrant where the guy is wearing a t-shirt with a fist up, that's definitely not how they pursued what they wanted to. In other words, they weren't going out in the street and protesting. They weren't writing articles in any published thing or newspaper. They kept things really quiet. And they asked me not to say anything outside the country during that time. And so what they were doing was working with sheikhs. So not religious sheikhs, but people who had positions based on lineage within government, who had power. And so what we did together is we made passports, we went to the jails, we got trafficked young girls out of jail, raised money with garage sales. We put them in the very first shelter that was created in the whole country. We hosted them there, and then we shipped them off with their new passports. That was a bit problematic because many of them came back, but to make a long story short, these are the women who created change by working in very subtle ways. And so by subtle ways, what we mean is we need to be very aligned with who we're being and what the goals are that we need to achieve. And so the being part, the upper left quadrant, was definitely being patient. Because of all the issues that they were dealing with, it's a very difficult thing to be working on. So patience, knowing how to deal with people who are very oppressive sometimes, knowing how to use their language as an upper right quadrant practice. And in the lower left, we weren't an organization, we weren't registered. So in other words, knowing how to organize ourselves, and that was through networking. So we were able to bring in foodstuffs, clothes, shelter, all the things we needed to do to help these women in ways that an organization could not operate, because if we were an organization, we would have been closed down. And so from a systems perspective, when we hit barriers, that's when we went to the media. That's when the BBC was called in. That's when the international community needed to step in, because little steps that were made were not quite enough. So the City of Hope, in my mind, is a great example in alignment with who we're being and always keeping in mind also what goals we need to achieve. And this was a group of women who had no background on how to do this. So then the question is, what are the qualities, practices, principles, and values that we need to adopt to do the things that we're here for or that we're called to do? And so going back to some of the slides and thinking back to them, number one, going from a closed mindset of rage to compassion. For the upper right quadrant, we can't be mediocre in a world that's so volatile. So holding that big vision of change as these women did in the City of Hope. Going from authoritarian to the inspirer. These are not necessarily things you can measure either in an evaluation. How do you measure being inspiring? But that's taking the right action and the aligned action. Going from marginalization to being inclusive, bias to multiple perspectives, and then really important, going from dependence to interdependence. And so just being your greatest version of yourself. Taking aligned action. Moving, making an effort to move from me to we. And thinking global. Thinking holistic. Seeing the big picture, seeing the whole as primary. And I will argue, my background is political science, thinking politically, because all these structures that need changing and transforming need a political mind. And by political mind, I mean the mind and the heart. Seeking empowerment, using strategy, critical thinking. And I'll leave you with this slide by Vaclav Havel. Let us teach ourselves that politics can be not just the art of the possible, but the art of the impossible, namely the art of improving ourselves and the world. Thank you.